Welcome to another episode of the Koshcast. As last week, we do not have a punny intro.
2 weeks in a row.
Again, because Alex never misses a podcast. He has a presentation for his, continuing studies course?
Yeah, some media marketing
thing. He was really upset. The professor picked exactly when we would record the podcast.
It's been a fortnight now.
Yeah, Rishay, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay, actually. Yeah? How are you guys doing?
I've been better.
Yeah?
Yeah. I apologize for being slightly tardy.
Slightly.
Yeah. I mean,
the universe isn't in my control. I am just a pawn in the universe, but I do apologize to my lovely Koshbirds.
But you were with a famous footballer's cousin. We won't say his name for privacy's sake, but
yeah.
Stan Collymore related, maybe?
Well, could be, yeah, possibly. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Nice.
But
nice.
I guess that gives me redemption points in some way.
No.
Yeah. Other famous footballers you guys have met this week?
We met Jozy Altidore and Tosin Ricketts from Toronto FC. There was a shout out to XTSC. It was a brilliant fan event that they put together, and local fans had the opportunity to meet the two players, chat a little bit with them,
take photos.
Autographs. Yeah, there were some raffles.
And I think we're trying to set up an interview with Tosin Ricketts soon.
Yeah, he's agreed to an interview after MLS Cup, which makes sense. You know, we want them to focus on that. Hopefully someday soon we can get to talk to Jozy as well.
Absolutely.
But funny enough with that, Jozy was not moving very well.
Oh, yeah?
And the guy who was hosting it actually said, we were thinking of going to do an interview with him then upstairs. But they said, we can't actually take him upstairs.
He can actually go upstairs.
Well, he probably can't walk, but it was like, you know, maybe a liability thing.
They right. Well, also, I mean, in the game, last game in the conference final, second leg, he did go down injured. And then he kind of soldiered on and then scored the winner while injured, it was great. Because he looked like he was genuinely going to get substituted because he looked hurt quite a bit. And then the finish was fantastic. It was such a tight angle, side netting.
It was a heroic performance by Jozy. You know, the only goal over two legs that decided the tie. Took us to the MLS Cup final. And then to shake his hand on Saturday night, come on.
Yeah, wish them good luck.
I was definitely in awe.
Awestruck.
As usual.
He's also a big guy.
He's huge, by the way. And, you know, he's listed as 6'1". Bernie's 6'2".
Right.
I'm 6'5".
But the size, the width gives you that aura.
He's a big guy.
It's like those Russian dolls you keep opening and there's another person inside. You keep opening, keep opening.
Yeah, we'll have an article out about our experience with them. We did get some interesting details from them. For example, I won't reveal it now, but Jozy Altidore's favorite goal. It's maybe not what you think it is if you know his repertoire, and Toussaint whether or not he'd like to play in the Canadian Premier League.
Cool, looking forward to that. But let's go back to the game really quickly before we go to the Premier League. This was a very tight affair, and at 0-0 in the first leg and then 0-0 for long parts of the second leg, it looked like this was quite dicey. It felt like, you know, if a goal was nicked here, TFC would be in big trouble. They would need two. So it didn't feel that comfortable. And TFC, to be fair, did not play their best football this game.
Absolutely. They even missed the penalty in the first half.
True.
And the way the game was going after that, you thought, okay, maybe this wasn't their year again. But then Altidore, you know, even though he was injured, defied the odds, scored the goal.
How do you feel about Giovinco not taking the penalty?
I mean, how does anyone feel about it? I mean, anyone on that team can take a penalty.
I thought it made sense because before he took the before Vasquez took the penalty, the commentator gave a stat about how Giovinco had missed. I think he scored 3 of 5, so missed 2, and Jozy had missed a similar amount, and Vasquez had scored 3 of 3. So probably before the game, they had talked about it if there's a penalty.
It's pretty bad run-up, to be fair. It just felt like it was a pretty...
No run-up. His thing. So, I mean, different things work for different players. It's fine. But, yeah, it was not a well-struck penalty.
And then just kind of held on for the last, 30 minutes so?
Touch and go for the last 10 minutes. Two or three big chances for Columbus. One, you know, fizzing across the goal. Heart and mouth.
Sorry, I just never... Even though those things happen, I never felt that they would score. Columbus are just not that team. Like, overall, their attack is just not that potent that you just kind of feel like you can deal with whatever they have to put in front of
them. But in that situation, all it takes is one free kick, one corner, something.
Yeah.
We were there for that game when, I think it was New York, scored that fluke goal from halfway line almost. Absolutely. I mean, anything could happen at the moment. And anyways, the end of the day is MLS Cup final on Saturday. Mm-hmm. We're all watching it together. Not at the stadium, but we're all watching it together. So, I mean, I don't know. I feel almost better that they're not going into this in top form like last season. Mm-hmm. It almost feels a bit more realistic. Now you can maybe nick a win as opposed to last season. The pressure was so high on TFC because through the playoffs, they killed it, they dominated, and this was supposed to be an easy game, they're going to win. Now that it's a bit more kind of...
But they played that way. Yes. In that final, they had all the shots. If not for... Was it Sebastian Frey? Sebastian Frey, we would have had the MLS Cup last season. But you're right. They're coming into this in not the greatest form. On the flip side, Seattle are brilliant. Right. They've absolutely just mangled Houston Dynamo in this round. In the last round, I think they beat Portland, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. I can't remember. I can't remember who it was. But they're playing really, really well. Dempsey's playing really well. Dempsey, he wasn't even there last season. So it's going to be a great final.
All right. Looking forward to that game. Let's talk about another game where a lot of chances were squandered.
Yeah.
So, to the Premier League, and as promised... another game where there was a lot of chances that, I don't know, I feel the result went against the round of play. What do you guys think? Okay, United.
Oh, yeah, Arsenal United. I guess I'll start.
Please.
Because, you know, we like Bernie having the icing on the cake. But this is a Saturday where I personally plan to get a lot done.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the second this game started, I thought, you know, what am I doing? I need to be watching this game. And I went to go and watch, and I was the only guy at the bar. Well, it was me and like two other guys.
Right.
But it was quiet enough. And by that time, it was already 2-0 United.
Yeah, which was like 8 minutes in or whatever.
Yeah, I called Rashid while he was walking on the way. I said, are you seeing this?
Yeah, well, yeah. The game started. It was bizarre because everything was going, you know, it was 3 minutes in. There was nothing to analyze see.
Well, hold on. Before the game started, right? So in the pre-match interviews that the managers now do, which I think is weird, Wenger said Lacazette's going to play.
Yes.
And everyone thought Lacazette was not going to play. And Mourinho said, oh, really? He's playing? That's interesting. But he goes, well, Matic is going to play. And everyone thought Matic wasn't going to play. So it was just this mind games that were probably going on in the background between the two.
I had a hunch that Lacazette would play because last game against Huddersfield, Wenger had said Ozil would be out. He wasn't. He started. And then the minute he said Lacazette is out, I just felt that especially that he came off at halftime, it was believable. And I had that feeling that he would play. And I'm glad he did, because like I said, I think with Ozil, were Arsenal's two best players on the day. Like I said,
agree.
Was phenomenal up top. He gave us something completely different than what Giroud usually gives us. And, you know, if it wasn't for De Gea, he'd have 3 goals this game. And again, we'll get to De Gea, probably. But the game, let's go back to the beginning. The game started and Arsenal decided to give United 2 goals. Literally just, I mean, obviously United did well because it was potent. It was 2 out of 2 chances, both goals. I mean,
it was 2 out of 2. Arsenal, like you said, they gave United basically 2 goals, but they were forced to give them 2 goals because they couldn't deal with the high pressing of Jesse Lingard, Martial, and Lukaku.
How do you feel about Lingard starting over Rashford?
You know, I actually don't mind Lingard starting because I feel like he's a player that you could use if you wanted high energy, just buzzing around.
The new G-Sport.
High pressure up top, up the field, high pressure. And picking the lock.
He's also not starting over Rashford. It's Martial that's starting over Rashford. Because when he's playing his 3-5-2, the idea is for Martial and Lukaku to link up. And Lingard's playing that number 10.
Yeah.
But in a very advanced attacking pressure up from the top number 10. Not this creative, you know, Ozil type of number 10, let's say.
Martial's first, I think it was the first goal where Martial did that turn and that little flip. That was the second one. Yeah. How was the first one?
First one, Valencia picked the lock on Kolasinac.
Yes. There were so many mistakes in the same play. I mean, Koscielny gave the ball away.
Mm-hmm.
Then Kolasinac decided that somehow he thought that was his ball and not Valencia's, and he completely committed to it. Then when Valencia gave it, I think it was played inside to Pogba. Literally all 5 Arsenal players just ran to Pogba.
Yeah.
Which Pogba then just flicked it back out to Valencia. It was completely open. Then Monreal actually made his way across. Cech made his way across. And the ball went through both their legs. It's just like, how many things can go wrong in one play?
Absolutely. Double lockpick. You don't see those too often. So it was very pretty on the eye in the action replay.
It was her. And another piece of that was poor defending was, if Valencia wanted to, if you watch the replay, Lukaku's wide open.
Right.
Because 2 guys rush to him and leave Lukaku. It's just schoolboy. Schoolboy defending.
And then 3 minutes later, Mustafi decides to dribble out of defense. On his left foot, weaker foot, tries to play it out, and then he was pressured. I can't remember, but I think Lingard.
Yeah.
And then that's when Martial did really well for that goal. He that beautiful spin and flick to Lingard. Lingard's finish was, because it had to be that perfect to go in, because Cech had the angle covered.
It had to be perfect, but still not an aesthetically pleasing finish because the ball hit the camera in the back and came out. The net didn't move.
I'm not going to let Ruchet say it
wasn't the only time it happened this weekend. It happened in, I think, an Inter Milan game as well.
It hit the camera and it hit the bottom rod.
Ruchet
wants to see the net bulge.
It was an absolute gorgeous
goal. And then after that, it was literally all Arsenal. I think Arsenal had 75% possession from that point moving forward. Arsenal actually, you know, bar the first 10 minutes, it's probably one of the best games Arsenal has played this season. You know, on par with the game against Spurs. A lot of chances created. Got to De Gea's goal multiple times. 3 or 4 clear-cut chances, which De Gea, again, he broke all these records. You know, 14 saves his game. I think Arsenal had 33 shots, 14 on target, which were all saved by De Gea.
I have an issue with this concept. And even though I do agree that Arsenal, from an attacking standpoint, did very, very well, but I have an issue with this concept of Arsenal played the best game that they ever played. In the sense of this, Arsenal were forced to attack.
Right.
Literally forced to. They would not, if this was a 0-0 by 20 minutes, this would never have happened because you never would have been that adventurous. And United would never have sat off you that deep as they did. But you were forced to because you were sloppy in defense. United picked you off early. But at the same time, it's United last season played games against Middlesbrough and Burnley, and Tom Heaton had great games, but no one praised them for those attacking performances where the goalkeeper was amazing. So why are we doing this now?
Well, because
to me, it makes no sense because had no other alternative but to throw.
No, but you had an alternative of having a horrendous game and just, you know, 7 minutes in, 2-0 down, you just throw in the towel and you're done. I mean, that was also an option, but that's not what happened. And the reason it's brought up this game is because they are playing a top team in United and they dominated the game from that point forward.
Yeah. To be fair, they did have 33 shots to United's 8 in the end. But, you know, on that point, parallel to that concept, United did sit back as soon as they got the 2-goal lead.
Well,
allowed Arsenal to play. Allowed the goal to be laid siege to. Where was that high press, energy? That's what annoyed me.
It reminds me, and by the way, Roche and I were very upset during this game.
We had heart attacks. We really couldn't breathe. I was sweating. One of us died.
But what this reminds me of, and someone said this, was you don't remember and you don't care that Inter Milan team that beat Barcelona. You remember that Barcelona peppered that goal so much.
Yes.
But you don't care because that was the tactic. I don't care if you had all the shots in the world.
Yeah, but
the tactic was to let you have the ball and come at you. But I do agree in the sense of United would have lost this game if not for the single best goalkeeper.
There is no way Mourinho gets credit for setting up a team that gets 33 shots on and 14 shots on target, and your keeper is having a world class game and man of the match. Like, that is not his game plan.
I agree.
He failed completely.
I'm not going to give him credit for that.
United should have lost. I, the same way I can't give Mourinho praise, I also can't. I can't kind of give fault to Wenger either, because he did start the right team. He did set him up perfectly. He can't control individual mistakes. I just feel that it was the freak. It was one of those freak games, and it comes down to also De Gea having an absolutely freakish game.
Yeah, there were numerous times in this game, in the first half, towards the end of the first half, in the second half, where I was watching in this, like, I was helpless.
Mm-hmm.
Watching
yes.
the ball roll past the post, kiss the post, hit the crossbar, De Gea making an outstanding save.
Ashley Young header off the line.
But here's exactly my problem with this overall analysis, is that I agree with you. I don't want to give Mourinho credit for this game, but I'm not giving Arsene Wenger any credit for one reason. The fact is, United, yes, they contained. De Gea had literally the best performance I've ever seen. But the fact is, United knew every single time that they went forward, they would pick Arsenal off. Lingard hit the crossbar. Martial had a shot, that shot saved off the line by Monreal. And they picked them off so easily for a third. So to me, it's United, yes, we got very, very lucky, but Arsenal were very, very bad in that United picked them off whenever they felt like it.
But if we agree that both teams were bad defensively, then I guess the difference is, at the end of the day, if Arsenal took their chances at the same rate that United did, Arsenal would definitely have won this game.
Yeah, but it's the same point I'm saying in terms of the Barcelona Inter Milan. You don't care because one team decided this is what I'm going to do, pick you off early and hold off.
Yeah, in hindsight.
It's literally playing with fire.
It came down to a game of mistakes at the end.
Yeah.
United, in the end, made less mistakes. But De Gea was perfect.
Yeah.
De Gea was perfect. I enjoyed
Arsenal's goal quite a bit as well. It was a nice little chip from Alexis Sanchez.
Beautiful goal.
It took a second for us to realize Did he just mishit that? Did he intentionally pass it back to, like, because you don't see that goal often where Ramsey's pretty much on top of De Gea playing it backwards to, like, because that was also like, am I offside? Like, what's going on?
That is good the finish. Ideal FIFA goal that I would have scored in my FIFA Prime.
Beautiful. Right? Also, on this game, I just want to say, Paul Pogba is literally better than everything Arsenal have. Everything. What he did in this
even
game,
the kit man.
People were mad last season, going on 89 million, this and that. He has shown this season, his form this season has been spectacular. He's been awesome. Look at Laurent Koscielny. He was made to look like an absolute joke of a player in this game. He was at fault for the first one. He couldn't even handle Paul Pogba for the third one. Yeah. He was brilliant, and he's going to be such a loss in the derby.
That third goal, after being laid siege to for so long, I at the top of my lungs, God! Like the in the bar, is, and the bar was empty.
I just feel that United were given the opportunity by Arsenal. Like, I think if this game was at 1-1 or Arsenal were 2-1 up, I don't think Koscielny goes into that tackle to go get the ball. I think he's rushing. He wants the ball. It's one of those where he wants the ball to kind of go up the other side again because the pressure was all on that side. It's like, this is one random attack. I'm going to go get the ball, start it over. And then that rush of blood, which is, you know, unfortunate from such an experienced player and he's supposed to be our best defender, allowed Pogba to have that moment of brilliance, which he took, you know, he took brilliantly because he's a big, strong guy, as well as technical.
Well, it wasn't just that. It was the fact that he's right on the line. He has that close control to just cushion the ball away so it doesn't go out. It was a technically brilliant goal and a physically brilliant goal.
This
it was
goal,
gorgeous.
This goal was a metaphor to the Fernando Redondo backheel and assist to Raul against United at Old Trafford in 2000.
Beauty.
Okay. I have to say before we move on also, I thought Arsenal... again, not excuses, but I thought there was at least two penalties that Arsenal didn't get given. The Welbeck one at the end is clear cut.
Yes.
There was a few. There was one on Lacazette earlier on. There was another one where I think Valencia was pulling him down.
Agreed.
And De Gea made a great
save. Both are penalties.
So,
and Koscielny has been sent off.
I think this is a great 3 points to get for United when you're not having the best game against, you know, away to a rival, to a top team. Again, Arsenal were extremely unfortunate this game. And
are you concerned about Laurent Koscielny's form? Because over the course of this season, I get it, you guys had 3 clean sheets in a row. But over the course of the season, I've talked about this on the pod, his positioning has been off. His positioning for the Lukaku pullback is a red card.
Sorry, say that again?
His positioning was so poor.
Oh, that was the last
that Lukaku got ahead of him. Oh, he had to pull him
that
down.
That could have been a
which is a red card.
Could have been
and it's not because his positioning has been off so many times. And I think you thought Mustafi was a problem? Now you have a liability.
Well, Mustafi's out injured again, which is... I just felt like he just didn't want to be in the game after he gave that ball away. He's like, you know what? I'm pretty much done. Anyways, we should move on because...
I just want to quickly add, Arsenal were 7-0-0 at home and did have an outstanding home record. But I feel that this home loss will not deflate them. I feel like they will actually push on from this.
I think it's weird. It's a weird 3-1 loss where there are, once people calm down a bit, there are a lot of positives to take.
Yes.
Like, Azet was a positive. Ozil played a fantastic game. And Arsenal's problem have usually been defensive, which is, you know, nothing has been solved yet.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a weird 3-1 loss, but you still... I've taken more positives than negatives because I just attribute it to individual mistakes, which, you know, it'll happen.
Yeah.
And I hope they continue their good form.
You know the best part about this game?
Mm.
All the Arsenal Fan TV, finally all saying... The best goalkeeper in the world
is
David De Gea.
Beautiful.
Without a doubt. Are you ready, Mohamed, to say it?
I don't know. It's a tough one. I don't watch.
Have you seen more miraculous moments than David De Gea has produced?
De Gea's, I would say, is the best keeper in the league for sure.
In the world, you see more miracles.
The only reason it's hard to say that is I don't watch Neuer on 90-minute basis.
He doesn't do it.
I'm just saying. And Buffon only recently started to decline. And I just, I hold him so high up there. Like 2 years ago, I think he's still better than De Gea.
You're making excuses.
Anyways, De Gea is up there for sure.
Well, you know what Arsenal could do? They could always play midfielders in defense like Liverpool.
Yes, they could. Since you brought it up, we could talk about Liverpool. Beat Brighton 5-1 with a very weird starting lineup.
Mm-hmm.
I think... We have Chan, Wijnaldum, and...
that's hipster if you ever seen
Robertson at centre-back in three...
Wasn't it guy with two names?
No, Lovren was Trent. There, though, wasn't he?
Trent Arnold?
Alexander Arnold.
He was a wing-back.
Trent
Arnold. No, he was a wing-back. I think it was...
No, Robertson was a wing-back.
Yeah.
Arnold was a wing-back. Lovren played in the centre, and then either side of him was Chan and Wijnaldum.
And they still beat Brighton 5-1. Firmino had a brilliant game. I think a couple of assists and a goal or two.
Yeah.
He played very well. Coutinho was a beast this game. Salah played. That assist to Firmino was really nice. Yep. He ran down the field, took the two players away from the ball, passed it, you know. He's having a great season.
Just toe-poked it right in time.
Yep. And the right amount of pace just to give Firmino, you know, he didn't have to touch it. Liverpool are, you know, are in a good run of form. I think it's, what, 4 or 5 games?
It seems under the radar in a sense. Even they're scoring a lot of goals.
Yes.
But I think because of Man City and Ashley Young, let me put that one. Yeah. Like, they're going under the radar a little bit, but they're playing fantastic.
Well,
that's
5 wins in 6 for them. We praised them a lot last week
as well. And the defense doesn't seem to be a problem.
Well, not recently. They have played some weaker opposition as well. But again, if they had lost to them, we would have been making fun of Liverpool, which is the other side of the coin. Right?
Well, what's his face? Glenn Murray missed a beautiful chance to make it 2-1.
And then right from the counter.
That was a fast counterattack. Yeah. It must have been like 8 seconds. For Firmino to score.
And then
it was 3-0.
Yeah, no.
And credit to Brighton, they continued to play, and they did have a few chances in this game later in the end. But Liverpool, so clinical on the counter.
I think Liverpool want you to play against them. I think they have trouble when you sit bad, because they have one of the best counter-attacking sides in the league, along probably with City and United, they're up there too. But they can counter-attack. Firmino, Mane, and Salah can go.
And Coutinho, now that he's back in the side, is a threat. Look at his free kick. He's
oh, that was brilliant.
He's very mentally sharp.
Apparently, Milner walked over and said, "Play it under the wall," and you can kind of see him chuckle when he actually does it and scores.
I don't know who said that. Milner's not getting credit for this.
Speaking of the counterattack, have you guys seen? Is there a faster front three? If you think Salah, Mane, and there was another person,
I would say BBC in their prime in quotations, when Ronaldo was still quick and Bale was fit. Robin Ribery when they were both on form.
But like, Mane and Salah seem to me to be like the most rapid people I've ever seen.
The thing is, Salah brings that average up a lot on his own, but yeah, no, it's a good point.
Yeah, they are fast.
I mean, PSG, Mbappe, Neymar? That's not bad.
Real Madrid 2009, 10, 11.
I'd say Mbappe might be faster than Salah. Mbappe's rapid, man. Mbappe goals. Yeah. So, it's a good point. Yeah. It's a good point.
Yeah.
Let's move on to City here for a second. So, City beat West Ham 2-1 in what was, again, late goal from City, which has happened, what, 2-3 games in a row now.
Yeah.
People are saying they looked a bit vulnerable lately. But again, Pep started with Fernandinho on the bench because he had a yellow. He wanted to save him for the United game. Kompany on the bench because he wanted to save him for the United game.
I mean, he probably is better without Kompany anyway.
Sure, but he will play against United. And I think, you know, West Ham didn't play a bad game. They played quite well. Moyes looked like he might get a miraculous draw.
They actually
draw
kind of attacked. It was strange.
Yeah.
They made me watch with that extra verve this game. I was watching it. I was cheering for Moyes. And I normally like to see him being battered.
There's this weird thing that I've noticed is happening is where the neutrals are very much for City. But at the same time, there's a group of neutrals who are against City because they just want to see the little man do something. And I have my boarding school group chat, and everyone is going on like, "Come on, West Ham! Come on, West Ham!" And there's Arsenal fans, Chelsea fans, everyone who is supposed to be a pretender to the league,
right,
is hoping that this happens. And when Aguero scored the header from the corner, I think it was,
yeah,
brilliant header, by the way.
Yeah,
I thought honestly, on no other place could put it, and you could feel people's joy.
Well, the thing is with City, it's weird. Like, I obviously don't want them to dominate the league, and I don't want them to be unbeaten because of the Arsenal connection and all that. But at the end of the day, I want them to win the league.
Mm-hmm.
Like, obviously, you're United fans and you have a chance of winning the league. I mean,
no,
more than Arsenal, let's say. And I know Arsenal won't win the league, but if I had to choose anybody, it would be City, just because they're enjoying to watch. I like Pep. Yeah. I think they try to play football the right way.
And you don't know any City fans.
Yeah, so it's easier. No one gloats.
You can't get
it's like a throwaway.
I just finished, because we're talking about this, putting together an article, and it's the way I do feel is that, obviously, I don't want them to win the league. I want United to win the league. I don't think it's going to happen. But in the grand scheme of things, this City team is probably really good for the league if you look at it, because
just for football.
If this team wins this league and goes undefeated or even loses one and they steamroll it, they're capable of contending. I won't say winning the Champions
League. Yeah.
They're capable of steamrolling the league. You can't park the bus against them.
No.
All these other managers who try this, they literally have to change the way their teams play in order to compete with them, and the old style that people don't like has to go out the window.
Absolutely. And you know, that's a point. I'm glad you brought that up, because we just had this discussion midweek when Sam Allardyce came back to Everton.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then I made a comment of, oh, Roy Hodgson, Sam Allardyce, Alan Pardew are back in the Premier League. It's like we're back in 2011, 2012.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they just keep cycling through. It's like Gerrard and Lampard in the England midfield, just over and over.
Yeah. And we do need new ideas. We do need new football.
To your point, Bernie, about, you know, teams can't sit back anymore. I've watched the last few kind of last gasp goals against for that City have had recently. When you think of, let's say, Arsenal last gasp, it's a Giroud header from a random corner. Or United. Giroud, yeah. Or United, you'd have Fellaini up there just bouncing balls down from Pogba's halfway crosses.
With
you know?
His chest.
But then you look at the way City go on about trying to get a late goal. Nothing changes.
No,
the same game plan happens in the first minute and it happens in the 95th minute.
Yeah.
And this goal could have been a brilliant goal in the 30th minute. It did not have that last minute feel to it. It was a brilliant pass. De Bruyne looked up, brilliant crossing. Silva sidekick into the bottom net. It just feels like they stick to the game plan for all game.
Yeah. And you have to watch, like if you watch the goal, you see when Silva gives the ball to De Bruyne and he saunters into the... It's like these guys, they have this... Pep Guardiola has coached them so well that they see what the defender is doing, and then they move into the space that is left.
Yes.
Everything they do is extremely intentional.
It's deliberate.
Yeah.
And if you watch the 10, 15 minutes before they actually scored this goal, you will notice, you know, they kept passing it, tip-tap, going around the
it's
player,
a lot of
finding
fun
the
to
space.
Watch.
And then you would also see the little flick chip. De Bruyne actually did it two or three times before. But they would still always retain possession because it's so deliberate.
They're a lot of fun to watch. Silva has been magnificent for them. Obviously, De Bruyne. But I have to say, Ederson kind of goes under the radar a little bit.
Yes.
He makes some crucial saves. I mean, again, it's one of those... Ederson is slowly going into the Neuer category where you only need to make two saves a game because your team dominates and, you know, you don't get that compilation.
Mm-hmm.
But he makes one or two extremely important saves a game that kind of keeps City in it. And I like him. He looks calm. He doesn't panic. He's good with his feet. And you know what? We were skeptical about who is this guy. I mean, he wasn't on my radar before he came to City. That's for sure.
I saw one good save by Ederson. It was like a long-range shot from like the left wing.
Yeah.
But I was going to compliment his distribution this game.
Oh, his distribution is amazing.
That's why, why they have him. That's why they have
him. By the way, goalkeepers, Adrian was amazing.
Yes.
He was actually very, very good in this game. And Joe Hart may never play again.
Well, Joe Hart couldn't play because of the whole loan thing from City.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah.
That's true. I thought it was permanent.
But then, Adrian might, should, I'd say, start.
On the basis of this performance.
Yeah. Also, I like that Pep changed things in the first minute of the second half. Brought on Jesus, bam. It's 1-1. I'm not waiting. Jesus, on. Like... I'm just used to the whole, like, wait till the 70th minute, 75th minute.
Let's talk about that a little bit. Because I think the last three games, maybe the last three, but at least I know the game before this, Jesus was on the bench as well. And he brought him on, I believe, in the second half to kind of chase the game at the same time, starting with Aguero. It's weird because my understanding was that Pep's guy was Gabriel Jesus, and Aguero was supposed to come off the bench. They start playing them together and blitzing teams. Now he's switched, and it feels as if the switch is giving them a hard time. I don't know if I'm drawing
No, that's correct. Right. And Pep, interestingly, after the game said, and I quote, "It's a big victory. It showed what we are. We had two strikers in the second half, and that helped. It was a big lesson for me. We created more with two." I mean, read into it what you want. Mm-hmm. Is he starting to feel a bit more comfortable playing two up top? Does he maybe not need... I don't know. But... it's interesting that he said that. I mean, clearly they look better every time they bring on Jesus and they play two up top. And Jesus, his movement is just so hard to deal with. So, anyways, City running away with this. I mean, it's scary to think that this is City's bad patch. They've won three games in a row.
Yeah.
And this has been their worst patch of the season.
Right.
So,
And we're talking about the derby coming up. They're going to win that game. I honestly do.
And
that's why they're
We didn't mention the red card. Yeah,
yes,
no Pogba.
On this, the thing with City that everyone knows is that they keep the ball.
Yes.
They retain the ball and you can't do anything about it. But when a team does that, the one thing you need is an outlet from the center midfield because De Bruyne and Fernandinho are not that great defensively.
Yeah.
Need someone to carry the ball, move through them, and then their defense is not that
great. But Herrera's coming in. Isn't he even like the best midfielder in the world?
I mean, he was great last season, but he's not going to do this.
Let's move on to speaking of bad patches of form. Spurs drew to Watford 1-1. Obviously, on the Spurs side, it's a bad patch of form. Watford have been killing it. Where do you guys want to start, Watford or Spurs?
Watford.
All right. Watford have been fantastic. And speaking of their manager, what's his name?
Marco Silva.
I think this is a real quote that came out
today.
It is
a real quote.
So he said, they asked him about Alvarez, and Alvarez said, oh, they hired the right man for Everton as opposed to Marco Silva.
Yes.
Hiring him. And Marco Silva said, when I'm 63... come over and see what I've achieved and compare it to Sam Allardyce. And it was brilliant. But he's been killing it.
He's been
entertaining football. They're fun to watch. Richarlison is killing it. Their new guy, Lee Hughes, is playing very well. So I like Watford a lot this season.
I like them. You know that you're right. Everything you said is correct. And I like Richarlison. He won't be there very long. He will be going to a big team or China for a lot of money very, very soon.
Right.
Yeah, no, they're great. They're for like 7th or 8th on the table. They're bang for their buck. Spurs are 5th. They're only like 2 spots behind them.
Right.
Or 6th.
Spurs have no wins in 4.
Yeah, 4 draws in a row, right?
Alderweireld.
Maybe I think one they loss. Lost to Arsenal.
Yeah. Drew the others. Alderweireld has been out now, and since then they've been conceding a lot more goals, especially early goals.
I believe Davinson Sanchez also got sent off.
He got sent off.
Yeah.
Stupid red card. He just punched the guy in the face, clearly, for no reason. Now he's out for 3 games, and they don't have Alderweireld. It's not looking good.
It's not just that they're conceding goals. Spurs are not, like, they're a good team defensively, but they can always concede a goal or two. It's that they're also not scoring them. It's just Harry Kane is not really doing the business. Dele Alli, it's no longer, it's like, he's been off form for so long now.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird. Yeah.
Dele Alli has never been on form this season.
Yeah.
I mean, in the league. Champions League, he's had 1 or 2 moments, but in the league, he's never been on form to come back to it. He still hasn't hit form.
His form ended last season.
It couldn't be that you just have a bunch of players who lose their energy levels as soon as the winter sets in. And then they get it back in the...
He's hibernating. Dele Alli is hibernating.
It's quite possible.
To be fair, we won't go into it again because we talked about it last podcast, but we did say that they have a thin squad. Mm. And it starts to... You play every cup game, you play every league game, and it starts to take its toll.
But Lamela came back, right, in this game? And
Lamela assisted last game.
Oh, that was last game?
And this game, he played again.
Yeah.
He's an exciting player on his day, but...
He gives you something different than what you're used to seeing from Spurs, because they have a very consistent starting lineup.
Yeah.
They're very rigid, and they kind of do their thing, and you kind of know exactly what you're going to get. With Lamela, there's a bit of flair. You don't know exactly what might come. So
a Spurs question. And So Kyle Walker left, right? And Trippier, to me, is neither here nor there.
Alex will tell you their team. Alex will tell you that Spurs have made the best move ever. No, I think they're losing a lot.
No, I agree with that. In the sense of last season, they literally... didn't use him over Trippier, and they were doing great, so that's par for the course, whatever. But on the left side, Danny Rose is back to fitness, but he's not playing.
Well, he's gonna
they're actually not doing anything down that left hand side. They're not using it at all, and we know there's a row, and he's probably going to be sold in January with United being linked. Is Pochettino getting that wrong? Is he doing something to push players away when he could actually use them? I don't know. There's something.
I don't know if it's so much Pochettino pushing the players away as the players pushing themselves away from the club by demanding more.
I honestly, Danny Rose, does have very high demands. He thinks
fair play to him.
He thinks he's a much better player. He thinks he should be playing at a better level. I think a realistic move would be a straight swap: Danny Rose, Luke Shaw. Danny Rose gets to the big club that he wants. If you get him on form, he's a very good left back. Luke Shaw is not coming back into Mourinho's books. It's just not going to happen.
No. When Ashley Young is playing this well, why even try?
Move to Tottenham and, get playing again.
That would be a good move for him. Yeah. For both of them, actually. Yeah.
All right. Let's move on to Chelsea. Chelsea beat Newcastle 3-1. This was the earliest game ever, like 7 a.m. It was impossible to get up for.
I want to start just by commenting on Newcastle. We saw them come
he
to...
He hates them.
Well, it's not that I hate them. It's just that I've seen this from them before, and I have tried to appreciate what they do. They start the games hot. Mm-hmm. They get that first goal, and they just cannot sustain that pressure, that energy, that discipline, and they break apart as the game goes on.
That applies to their whole season as well on a bigger picture. They started hot, and then now they're on 15th. I mean, weren't they like at 7th, 8th, or 4th at one point, I think?
Yeah.
Like a few games in, they were killing it. And then now they're sitting at 15th, only a few points off relegation.
I still think they'll survive, because I think there are teams that are worse. And I feel like the fact that they do keep scoring early shows that they're capable of more. But then again, we all know they had no money. Mike Ashley is selling. So they're waiting. They're in a bit of a weird transition. They're waiting for the new ownership to actually present the offer and hopefully give Rafa some money and maybe some things change. But on this game, like you said, you didn't really feel that when Newcastle went up 1-0 that early that they were going to win this game.
I also feel that Chelsea, they know Newcastle inside out. Every time it's Chelsea-Newcastle, you know it's a Chelsea win. Yeah. It's never the other way. Also, I just want to quickly add, I think Rafa Benitez micromanages his squad.
He should?
Like, over the 90 minutes, he's always saying, oh, move into this position, move into that position.
He wants a controller. He wants a FIFA controller.
But like that's no different to Pep Guardiola.
Right.
He literally tells you, Raheem Sterling, do this at this time of the game, move into that spot.
Yeah.
But
every time there's a throw,
he can actually do it.
Every time there's a throw in next to Pep, he's in the guy's ear.
Yeah.
Give it to that guy. It's like, okay, let me take that throw on. But I have to say about Chelsea, the last 3 to 4 games, Hazard is back. Hazard has been back. The early part of the season, he was not there. I mean, not there, either injured or not on form. But recently, he's been their man of the match 3-4 games in a row now. The last game against, who was it? Against the big team, against Liverpool. He was man of the match for them as well when he just, basically, he was the only attacker on the field. This game, again, 2 goals, linking up really well with Morata.
Did you see
slowly
Moses
coming
cross
back into it? Yes.
Like, I felt like Morata was going to explode.
Morata has the most headed goals in the league this season.
No, he's great.
Yeah, he's really using that.
I do like the commentator's phrase, and I don't like what commentators say these days. But he said, and Morata has given it the nod of approval.
That's pretty good.
I did like it.
Moses had a great game, too. Coming back from injury, I think, won the penalty and the assist.
Because he did lose his spot at the beginning. But I have to say, before we move on for Chelsea, Christiansen has been absolutely... he's been their best defender. He's been one of the best defenders in the league this season. He's come in young, took the David Luiz's spot, and Bernie's celebrating in the background.
Yes, because there are people who believe that David Luiz is a good defender.
David Luiz cost...
And he's not.
David Luiz has cost people $100 million over his career.
Yes.
I'm just saying.
You can have a great season, and let's say he had a great season last season, or the team had a great season, but David Luiz himself is just not very good defensively.
Thank you.
And I hate it so much when
I hate David Luiz.
Okay.
Thank you, Richard.
So, Christensen has been coming in for him. He's been doing phenomenally well. There's a lot of rumors that Pep has kind of looked at that and it really likes the player. I mean, obviously, you're not going to get him, but there's rumors that Pep has kind of picked him out as a great player, and if he could get him, he would, because he's that kind of Stones mold, right? He's very good on the ball.
He's very
young,
than Stones.
Physical. Stones has been great. You're going to hate on Stones.
No, because all I'm saying is, Christians, when you look at, this is all I keep telling
he's
you.
He's had like 5 games.
When you look at defending, right? I don't care about you being great passing with the ball and all that, and you don't get attacked that much. That's fine. The team is great defending because of that with Pep Guardiola, but individual defending, which means if an attacker is running at you directly and you can stop that, That's what Christensen is great with tackling,
okay,
great with positioning. John Stones is not.
Smalling is that guy, but you're not going to pick
Smalling is
him.
Trash and everything.
Smalling looks like he's about to fall over at all times.
Bailly is that guy.
A lot of
Smalling.
A lot of strikers have said that Smalling is the hardest one-on-one defender.
No, because
he
fouls you all the time.
He's clumsy looking.
Right.
And he always looks like he's
going to
fall over.
I keep going back to the example of Rio Ferdinand and
Nemanja
Vidic.
Yeah.
There was no deep-lying defensive midfielder in between them, but they still had the record for clean sheets in Europe because individual defending, they were good. These other guys, you have Fernandinho in front of you. You have a team that passes the ball.
Shaka.
It doesn't tell me that you are a good defender. It does not.
No, sure. You've got what? You've got a Herrera, a Shaka, a Fernandinho. People are just... There's no more protection right now. It's like, you're on your own, man. Good
luck. You're 20-something-year-old Christensen.
Yeah.
And when Conte wasn't available, you were still doing well.
Yeah. All right, let's roll through these scores really quickly. Leicester beat Burnley 1-0. Great 3 points for Leicester. Claude Puel is doing fantastic. Burnley really should have taken something from this game, but he's doing great since he took over at Leicester. They've looked better. Mahrez has this call for help, blonde hair going on.
It's so bad.
It is unbelievably
I'm
bad.
I'm very tired.
Like, he's rich enough to look into the mirror and go, bring it back. Like, you know what I mean?
Like, just like magic.
Because
like,
I will walk in, I will walk into a hair, get, and I'll say, you know, give me that yellow, bright yellow, and I'll take it because I'm not paying for the reverse. Mm-hmm. I will take it. He could sit there and go, nope,
but
send it back.
I think he's depressed because he came out recently talking about how Leicester blocked my deadline day move, like just yesterday. So clearly, he's just not happy. So he needed a change.
Or maybe he was trying to go like, you know, in costume, so no one recognizes him on the street after that interview.
Well, now everyone's going to recognize him.
True, he stands out like a sore thumb. Anyways, Burnley, again, they've been great this season.
Sucks for them because they actually have been great.
That's true.
There's a player on Burnley who's actually got the same number of fantasy points as Alexis Sanchez.
Who?
I don't
actually,
know,
it might be Bournemouth, actually.
Okay.
Never mind.
We'll double check that.
But there is. I saw a screenshot of that.
Fake news.
I love when Trey starts a sentence and he knows he doesn't know the facts. But we'll go with it.
I don't have the bibliography,
right,
but I did see it.
Fake news.
Yeah. Everton beat Huddersfield 2-0. Big Sam, I mean, he brings results.
Everton have been a thorn in my backside all season.
Yes. Because now they're proving your initial statement right.
Because I thought they were going to do well, and they proved me wrong.
No, you...
And the second I switched sides, and I was like, okay, well, screw you, Everton. Yeah. Now they're starting to win games 4-0, 2-0. Well, Rooney scored a hat-trick. Ashley Williams,
yes!
Two clean sheets in a row.
This is the shitty part about having midweek games, so we don't talk about them. Rooney scored a delightful hat-trick, and now Sam gets a 2-0 win.
That was the day we had that discussion.
Yeah.
This is
about
good...
why we don't need old manager, we need new football. And then Everton won 4-0.
Yeah, that's what happens. And then that's why they keep getting hired. Pulis and Allardyce and whatever, because they keep teams up. And right now, it's too expensive to go down. Anyways, Sigurdsson and Calvert-Lewin had a great game.
Rooney had a good game.
Rooney had a
good
game.
Assist there for Calvert-Lewin.
Exactly. Stoke beat Swansea 2-1. Swansea are definitely going down. I think them and Bournemouth, unfortunately. But Swansea definitely. Boney is back. I can't believe it. The 33 million signing by City.
You love that.
I could not believe it. I thought it was like April Fool's in October or whatever. It was like, how do you buy Boney for 35
million?
You
know what? We also ridiculed the Fabian Delph signing.
I mean, if
which
anyone,
one was
yeah,
worse at the time?
True, I think...
Delph, surely.
No, I think Delph is better.
Delph is now their Ashley Young.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's
all,
a good point.
All I will say is, because of midweek games, Renato Sanchez passing to the advertising board... Yeah.
Renato Sanchez, it has just been comical since he moved from Bayern Munich.
It's sad. It's actually so sad. I feel so bad.
It's not bad.
He's
not
like,
that
what,
good.
18?
He's not that good.
But he was good.
What? He had 3 games at a Euro?
No, but Benfica the whole season. Mate, every single club in Europe chased him.
Okay, so what happened?
That just shows that you're
quite,
good.
It's quite possible that he moved too young.
He doesn't have the mentality for it. It's just he doesn't. I mean, look at Boyan, right? Boyan was great. He doesn't have the mentality for it. Like, it's just sometimes. Right.
Boyan was great as a squad player, not a leader.
Yeah.
Okay. West Brom drew with Crystal Palace 0-0. I mean, nothing really happened here. Crystal Palace, they both would have taken a point. They both can take a point. They're kind of sitting.
They both are just good for points.
Like, there was a pre-match agreement there.
Crystal Palace are still in the relegation.
Weren't they
zone.
Both previous managers of these two teams?
Possibly, actually.
Actually, yes. That's when Roy Hodgson was manager of West Brom before England.
Ah, good point.
It's like Zlatan playing for all big three Italian clubs. Now Hodgson's going to play for
Hodgson
all the relegation candidates.
West Brom, Palace, Everton.
Bournemouth drew with Southampton 1-1. Charlie Austin, great goal.
Beautiful.
Beautiful goal. Bournemouth, they needed this point, man. It's been a slump. They needed this point.
Is Defoe still alive?
Defoe has just dropped
a great
off.
Chance, and the goalkeeper for Southampton, Fraser Foster, made a beautiful reflex save.
Finally, he's been so shit.
Yeah. Okay. No, actually, I made a comment on this game. I was like, Bournemouth, Southampton, I would actually watch this game. I think this is a good game for the neutrals to watch.
Wow.
Two strong mid-tier level strength clubs, you know, playing for a good...
Okay.
And they actually think they're not playing like traditional...
Right, right. They both try and play.
Pragmatic managers.
True, true.
Yeah.
All right. I think that pretty much covers the Premier League. Let's do some mumus.
Happy mumu. One thing we are no sha, mumu no fit sleep forever. One day, mumu go wake up.
Ladies and gentlemen, our new sponsor. XTSC.
Extreme Toronto Sports Club, XTSC, offers the best co-ed, men's, and women's recreational leagues across the city. Get your soccer fix with Extreme Toronto Sports Club. Sign up today at xtsc.ca. xtsc.ca.
Go to xtsc.ca and use the code 2017REDSKOSH. That is 2017REDSKOSH when you register for soccer leagues. DM us on Twitter at under_thekosh or email underthekoshblog@gmail.com for details.
All right, so this week's Mumu, our sole Mumu, is Aaron Ramsey. Surprising after a great assist for Lacazette, but he has assisted himself here. So, Bebo was a social media platform, I think, that came out around the MySpace era.
Never even heard
Facebook.
Of it.
Neither did I.
Did you have a MySpace account?
I did.
Oh, okay.
If it comes to light, then I'm finished.
Right.
But Andy Carroll came out some months ago, and now they've unearthed Aaron Ramsey's. So he has some very unfortunate pictures in here, but it's the profile statement
right.
That's hilarious.
But the picture you're looking at is what, a bathroom selfie with that long spiky hair? That,
yeah.
Right.
There's a bathroom selfie with long spiky hair. There's also a picture of his leg up, another guy holding his leg next to a tractor.
It's probably a bachelor party.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on there. Don't want to repeat that.
It's Wales.
Here's what his profile says. Hi, I'm Aaron. I play football for Wales and Cardiff City. I'm about 6 foot with brown hair and brown eyes. Like to go out with my mates. That's M8S. And family. I live in Caerphilly?
Sure. It's somewhere in Wales. You can't pronounce it.
Yeah. a little known town by Cardiff. So if you want to get to know me, add me on MSN.
So how old would he have been?
MSN.
Oh, and he puts his email address in there. Aaron_Ramsey_8@hotmail.co.
What do you mean, add me at MSN? Does he want to play under Suarez, Neymar, and Messi?
Wait,
what does
that mean? Aaron Ramsey 8? So he's probably 8 years old when he made
it. I think he was number 8, no. maybe. But he literally, was this way he was trying to pick up girls back in the day? Like, I'm an MSN and because I'm a footballer?
But he's a footballer. Maybe this was still young.
This is Cardiff. You know, IQ level of an 8-year-old.
Like, did he have to shut this down?
How do people find these things?
I don't know, but they're
the real. Internet.
I would think if I was a celebrity, I would go back and just completely annihilate all my old social media.
If I was one of the girls that did contact him on MSN, I would just screenshot and share all the MSN chat history.
Well, you wouldn't just share. There'd
probably be some hilarious things.
You would go to some media tabloid, you know, whatever, the Daily Mail or something, and sell it for a lot of money.
But do any of you guys have anything on the internet that you are ashamed of?
Probably my old MySpace profile, but I mean, that's just me in high school.
You know when you go to someone's Facebook and you go backwards to the first ever picture he put up? It's all like Henri and like Arsenal. Like, it's the most random stuff.
Yeah, I have some stuff my wife would probably not want
to see. Let's think about
this. Is the test, Bernie. Is she listening to the podcast?
No. Because
then you're going to find out because she's going to look at
absolutely not.
She's going to be like the auditor.
Abi Momo. One thing we I know, sha, Mumu no fit sleep forever. One day, Mumu go wake up.
So, Italy, as we do every week, because, I mean, I remember a few seasons ago of this podcast where we would be avoiding talking about the Serie A. Nothing would happen, it's boring.
The way we avoid Bundesliga?
Yes, exactly. The way we avoid Bundesliga.
Well, also because I would blast the Serie A. Yeah.
Yes, but now it's hard to do that because it's one of the most exciting leagues.
Yes.
The top is just crowded right now at Serie A. Napoli-Juventus was the game of the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
It was on the Friday.
A little bit of robbery?
A little bit, but again, whoever took the 3 points here was crucial. Juve came away with a brilliant, very important 1-0 win. Dybala assist to Higuain. They just were not marked well enough for that goal.
Mm-hmm. And you would have to come from those two guys.
Dybala looked at Higuain at least 3 times before he passed it.
Yeah. Yeah, so everybody see this? It's about to happen.
Yeah.
Higuain wasn't even supposed to be playing. He injured his hand the week before, but he made it through. But I don't know. We kind of are slightly rooting for Napoli to hopefully just stir things up a little bit, but Juve looks to slowly be coming back into it.
I'm openly rooting for Napoli, but I was listening to a Serie A podcast, and they're saying it feels like every year Juventus start slower and slower, but every year they recover it to win because they have the expertise to do it.
Right.
And everyone else is a bit of a pretender to it.
Right, right. Sarri had a very good quote after the game here. He said, which Alex pointed out, he said, "I'm sad for two reasons. First, because we have let down our fans for whom this match always means a great deal. Then after that, I felt a personal disappointment at seeing Napoli Juve played out as greys against the yellows. I hoped I would die before such a thing occurred. For those of my generation who grew up with sticker albums, this was a really painful thing to see."
So Napoli didn't play in their blue.
No, Napoli played.
But why did they make that decision?
I don't know, which is a good point. So,
which stirred up a debate earlier today about jerseys, home and away. Why would the home team ever play in an away jersey?
Oh, don't
you? Is it marketing?
Arsenal doesn't even play away kit. They play third kit just to sell it. It's frustrating.
Just to sell it, eh?
Just to sell it. It's so annoying.
But you shouldn't do that in the biggest game of the season,
yeah.
No? Like, it's a matter of pride at this point.
Well,
right?
I mean, he did say he would rather die. So, I mean,
I love the passion of Italians.
Yeah.
I absolutely love it. And we'll probably get to some Gattuso. Point. Gattuso. But it's so... I actually feel that this is how they feel. Like, inside. They're not even making this up.
Right. Let's talk about Gattuso's...
Gattuso looks a bit like an inflated Riyad Mahrez.
You look like an inflated Riyad Mahrez.
To be fair, that is also true.
Wow. I don't have blonde hair, to be fair.
Milan drew to Benevento. Riche, you've been following Benevento closely this season.
I really wanted them to lose 38 games. But the way that they took a point for this game, it actually brought a tear to my eye.
Alex said watching the highlights. Like them celebrating brought a tear to his eye.
It was a beautiful moment.
If you guys saw the goalkeeper score that goal, complete. There was no hope whatsoever.
Tell us about the goal.
the free kick came in. I think he actually miskicked the free kick.
Right.
Because the ball did all sorts of weird spins. The goalkeeper just kind of stuck his head out.
But he could have died. He kind of contorted his body and flicked the ball. It was like a fish.
He could have died if a goalie came to punch it as he, you know, instead of hitting the ball, the goalie punched his head. He could have died. That was the angle his head was.
My issue is this, is that every time I watch moments like this in sports, mm-hmm. I always think about if I was in the theater watching a movie, I would say this is so unrealistic, give me my money back. Yeah. I mean, going 13 game seasons losing, and then your goalkeeper scores a fish header goal from a mishit free kick.
In the 95th minute
of the game. I want my money back.
In the bottom corner.
Right.
And wow, like all the players, the fans, everyone pretty much, like the referee blew the final whistle because he was also crying.
So,
but, like, this is the best part about this is that if you watch highlights of a Benevento game.
Mm.
You can see the hills in the background.
Yeah, it's a nice stadium. It's a nice background.
It's a great backdrop for that.
Gattuso did come out with some more Italian gusto. He said, it would have been better to be stabbed than concede this goal. And you know Gattuso's been stabbed before, so he knows what to do.
But it is a bit of a disgrace. I mean, they're already having issues.
Yeah.
And your first game back, so bring back the passion to the team. And then you are the one. You don't want to be that team. You don't want to be the Chelsea that lost to Crystal Palace. You don't want to do that.
Or the Liverpool. But question.
Ooh.
Would you, as Gattuso, first game in charge against literally the worst team in the world, is that added pressure or less pressure? I feel like it's a banana skin. I feel like I would not want to start with... where you expected to win a gazillion percent.
I'd rather start with Juventus.
Yes. Honestly. Right?
Yeah. Did you see the picture of Gattuso that he grabbed one of his players by the neck and like threw him back on?
It was...
this game?
Bernoulli, Bernoulli, the boss... Bernoulli said the boss didn't want me to go up. He can be stubborn, but even more stubborn. I said, I'm going. And that's that. So it started great for Gattuso.
Is this really like... Is this now is just a PR marketing thing that Gattuso does this?
No, he's just nuts.
No, he's
actually... I cannot stand it.
I know people who have that short fuse in life, everyday life.
I know you.
And they exist. Like, they exist. They just go off. Anyways.
But how do people just accommodate this, you know what I mean?
Well, it's what made him a winner, though.
It's like HR nightmare. So.
Yeah. let's talk quickly about... Well, I mean, Inter are on great form. I think they're top of the table now by a point.
I think Paris is Patrick in this game and Icardi with a couple.
Icardi again.
The most beautiful goal of this game was Skriniar's goal.
Yes.
The fourth goal. Only because... It reminded me of an old goal from the 90s.
You always link things to your memories in your past.
Always the anal.
It's because I saw that goal and I was like, wow, that played out perfectly. The angle of this and the angle of that.
The vector.
They came together at the right moment. It was like I think it was a Roy Keane goal against Man City.
Right.
The Giggs crossed from the left.
I can't even remember what you're
talking about. The camera was literally... moving at the same time that Keane made his run into the box.
So the cameraman was involved.
I wish I remember.
And that's exactly what happened for Skriniar for this goal.
So Inter with that goal ahead of Napoli by a point. 39 points for Inter, 38 for Napoli, 37 for Juve. Roma beats Spal. I can't help but every time I hear Spal, it feels like a faction of the KGB, like Spal. Like, it's just, you know what I mean? Like, it's just SPAL.
Anyway. I think it's spaghetti and meatballs when I write here Spal.
Yeah? No, I know, soldiers, patrol, and...
Liberation,
yeah.
Is it Spal Football Club or Club de Football?
Calcio Spal or something.
Yeah, I don't know.
Calcio Spal.
Lazio won. Lazio with 32 points. I mean, they're hanging in there.
A good race.
Absolutely. Let's talk a little bit about Spain. We'll finish with Spain. Barca. No one wants to win this league, by the way. Barca drew to Celta Vigo for no reason at the Camp Nou.
They did have another disallowed goal, wrongly so.
Again, second week in a row.
Offside, right? Suarez, right?
It was late on a platform for Madrid. Madrid still on holiday.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, Madrid came into their game knowing that Barcelona had dropped points. This was their chance to gain some ground after the horrendous start of the season. But knowing Madrid, they could not score against Bilbao. I think this is the first time they haven't scored in a while.
I mean, when your best striker, Sergio Ramos, gets himself sent off... I don't see how you're going to score any goals.
Yeah. Sergio Ramos has the most red cards in the history of La Liga, officially. Like, I'm not just saying.
No, he must have the most red cards in the history of life.
Right.
Like, he
also has more goals than, like, players like Iniesta. So, it's weird. He's a defender.
I had a dream last night and that I was watching a movie and Sergio Ramos was one of the characters in the movie.
Oh, yeah?
Was it an action movie where he just threw himself at the bad guy?
It's quite possible.
How weird would Martin Luther King's speech be if he said, I had a dream... And I was watching Sergio Ramos playing.
By the way, if if football players could be in movies, Sergio Ramos would be in the Indispensables or the what's that one with Stallone and
Expendables?
In Expendables, yes, yeah, he'd be in that. Just he's all action, no brains. Yes,
just that big machine gun. So speaking of teams not wanting to win the league, Valencia also went and lost. And,
to 10 men?
Yeah. So basically, Barcelona started the week off by drawing to Celta Vigo and ended up getting the most best week. Net, like, it was best for Barcelona.
The only one that drew did well lost. Were Atletico, who I called trash.
Yeah, but they're not going to win the league. They're trash.
Maybe that's what happens when you play day games in Spain. Because the weather's so nice and you feel like you're on holiday.
True. So win, lose, draw, you're still a winner, really. Because, you know, is winning in Manchester or losing in Madrid? I take losing in Madrid.
I take losing in Madrid.
You know, because after that, you can go to Madrid.
Yeah.
Over here, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You
got a nice...
You got to drive down to London to have a good time.
We were in Manchester when it was cold in April.
And you said and that there has nothing. There's nothing there.
Well, okay. I was exaggerating. Okay. Manchester is a lovely city.
Manchester
really,
is red.
It really
okay.
is.
It's okay.
Especially when Man United win games. It's lovely. But we were in Barcelona the next day. We're like,
Of course.
It's warm.
The air was fresh.
Yeah.
Barcelona top of the table with 36, Valencia 5 points away, 31, Atleti ahead of Madrid with 30, and Madrid with 28.
Nope.
Madrid is so bad, it actually infuriates me.
This is a season where they're all bad. I mean, even Barca aren't that good. They've been bad in patches. Valencia are really the only one that are slightly exciting because they're, you know... But, yeah. I don't know, not the best of seasons in Spain. No. Not that exciting.
Well, they're all going on holiday soon for the winter, so...
we'll see how they do in January. Ozil is extremely jealous.
Of what?
Of the winter break. He misses
it. Oh, I was like, is he going to Barcelona or
something? No. I mean, I think rumors are, speaking of that, Ozil might renew with Arsenal, but Sanchez is definitely off. So
thank God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exciting stuff. So we've got the MLS Cup on Saturday, which I can't wait to see with all you lovely faces on Alex. Hopefully you can
make
it.
The derby.
It's
going to be a great Saturday.
It is going to be a great Saturday and the derby. And it's what time is it? In the morning?
I don't know.
You guys should all come for that too.
Well, we're going to lose that
try. You never know.
What are you talking about?
Yeah,
this is what Atlanta does normally.
Full-time Devils. Football fans are hilarious, okay? Yeah. Sorry, I know we're going to end. Sure. But it's hilarious. You're watching Full-Time Devils, the United equivalent to Arsenal Fan TV. And at the end of the game, people are hyped up. We're going to beat City. It's all right, man. Rubbish. No Pogba. And I'm looking at like,
who are these idiots?
What are you saying?
Absolute peasants. But no, Mohamed does it all the time. We had like 10 home draws last season. And in every one of those matches, Mohamed kept saying, plenty of time, bro.
70th minute.
Plenty of time. You got 30 minutes. You'll win.
85th minute. Don't worry, bro.
93rd
minute. It's on official record. On the form that Arsenal are showing that they can win all six matches and beat Manchester United.
To be fair.
And we both, you and I, looked him in the eye and said, you're crazy, mate. Your form is actually not bad. Your form is great, but performance are not actually that great.
Loco.
And it got proven by the best goalkeeper in the world.
Oh.
And, ooh, Martial.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're not gonna talk about the game all over again because we're an hour in. I mean, we could, to be fair. The game had a lot of talking.
Yeah, blood. Yeah, fam. You could, but yeah, fam.
I'm tired, Robby fam. I'm tired, Robby blood. All right. Let's end this here, and we'll see you. You'll listen to us all next week.
Yeah.
See ya, fam.
Night.
Thank you for downloading the KoshCast. Get in touch at underthekoshblog@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at under_thekosh. And for articles, predictions, and the full experience, go to underthekoshblog.com.